Whenever we refer to the heart, there are three ways that we may consider it. One, we may refer to our physical heart. The heart is one of the most important organs of the body. Life depends upon this little pump which is within us to circulate the blood around our bodies. The heart is essential for life. It never ceases while we live. Our physical heart, that little pump that is within us. But then secondly, whenever we refer to the heart, we may be referring to our feelings and our emotions. We may refer to someone we love as loving them with all our heart. We may refer to the work that we do, a work that we like doing, and we may say that we're doing it with all our heart. And so our feelings or emotions enter into it, and the heart is recognized as being the seat of our feelings and emotions. But then thirdly, we may refer to the heart in a spiritual way. Whenever we make reference to the heart in this way, it also embraces our minds as well as our hearts, because the hearts control our thoughts and our actions. We're reminded in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And moreover, whenever we consider what the Lord has to say, whenever he looked down upon the world in the days of Noah, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we read, "And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And so the heart, our hearts are a very important part of our lives. It is important in our physical life. It is important in relation to our emotional lives. It is important in relation to our spiritual lives. And today I would like for us to consider our heart in relation to our spiritual lives. And the writer here to the book of Proverbs has this to say in the words of our text: "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, the word issues has the idea of outgoing or of pouring out or pouring forth. And with this in mind, we would like to consider the heart as being like a reservoir, as being like a water reservoir. Now, the homes in many towns and cities obtain their water from a reservoir. We think here in our land, we think of the Silent Valley, and there are other reservoirs that are in high ground, and those reservoirs are used to collect water, which is then fed to the homes in our country. And as we think of the reservoirs that supply water to our homes and towns and cities, I would like for us to consider five things about the reservoir of our heart. And first of all, the reservoir is used to provide a supply of water. That is what it's there for. That is its function. A reservoir may have a lot of infrastructure associated with it. There may be the structure itself that holds the water. There are all the pipes which channel the water to your homes. There are the pumping stations or the pumps to keep the water under pressure. There's all sorts of equipment to add chemicals to purify the water and to monitor its quality. But remember that you can have all of this infrastructure and all of this equipment, but if there is no water, then all of the equipment and all that you have, it does not serve any useful purpose. And this reminds us that of all the material things that are associated with our lives, and even as we come together to meet collectively in our church service, it is the Lord that we need. It is the Lord that is the vital component in our lives. And if we do not have his presence, and if we do not know the Lord and have his presence, then all that there is around us counts for nothing. We need the water. We need the water. We need the water in our homes. I'm sure the ladies would not like to wash or to clean the dishes if there were no water. But water is needed to wash our clothes. It's needed to clean around our home, to wash our car, to clean the yard. Water is needed in order to make things clean. But even more importantly, water is needed for us to drink. It's needed in order to preserve life and to sustain life. If we have no water to drink, then we will die physically. And if we do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the water of life in our hearts, then we will be those who continue as being dead in trespasses and sins, and there will be no life, no spiritual life within us. We're reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 4 and verse 14 when he said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The heart is the reservoir of man, and it is what flows from the reservoir of our heart which makes the man. The flow from this reservoir of the heart, it goes to our mouths, it goes to our ears, it goes to our eyes, it goes to our hands, it goes to our feet, it goes to our lips. All that there is within, it derives from our heart. And if today we would have the streams of our life to be happy and blessed, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to be in our heart. We need that new heart. We need that heart which has Christ and has embraced the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. We can have many things, and even as we meet, we can have fine buildings and all of the equipment that enables us to do many things in the Lord's work. But if we do not have the Lord, if we do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the source and the spring of the living water, then all counts for nothing. The reservoir is there for the supply of water. And so too, in our hearts, we need the Lord Jesus Christ, the living water. But then secondly, the reservoir needs to be kept full. If a reservoir is to supply the needs of the people, then it needs to be well filled with water in order that it is always available to meet the need. No matter how good the water is, if there's very little of it, then it will not meet the need that there is. And if there is no water, then there will be nothing but emptiness and barrenness all around. Now, we see that in Kenya, where there's a large area in the northern part of the country where there is little or no rain. And in those areas, there is but just scrunted scrubland. There is no very little useful agriculture, because everything is bleak and barren. But then in areas where there is a substantial and irregular rainfall, all is lush and green. And what a difference the water makes. The water is vitally important. And so we need hearts which are filled with the Lord, filled to overflowing, filled with the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will never be able to accomplish anything for the Lord if that is not the case. I pray that our hearts will be full of Christ to witness for Christ to our friends and to our neighbors, full of Christ that we would be able to do the Lord's work in the place where he has placed us. May we have a heart today for those who are not yet saved. As we think of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the main objective was that to see others come to know him as their Savior. You think of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, what was it all about? It was to see others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to see them brought savingly into the kingdom. And you think of the concern that the Lord Jesus Christ had for those who are out of Christ. You think of the people. You think of the city of Jerusalem. And yes, the people had rejected Christ. They were in the point of putting the Lord Jesus Christ to death by crucifixion on a Roman cross. They deserved nothing from the Lord. But whenever the Lord walked the hill to Olivet and he looked down over the city of Jerusalem, he saw the people with all their sin, and he saw the future that awaited them. And we read in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it." I pray that we would have more of the heart of the Savior for those who are lost, and that we too would be enabled to weep for those who are out of Christ, a heart to weep for men and women who are dying out of Christ and going to a lost eternity. And I believe in these days we need to redouble our effort in the place of prayer. E.T. Pearson, who became the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London for a time after C.H. Spurgeon, he tells of one day of a marble cutter who had a large stone, and the marble cutter, he was cutting out the figure out of the stone, and he was changing the piece of stone into a statue. And the preacher, looking on, he said, "I wish I could deal such changing blows on stony hearts." And as that man was on his knees with his chammer and chisel, the workman, he answered, he said, "Maybe you could if you worked like me on your knees." And I think there was a message there. And if we live close to the Lord and close to his book, then we will be those who are in the place of prayer. We'll be those whose hearts are overflowing with Christ, and that overflowing to the world around us will have a desire that others too will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If we live without prayer, if we live without reading the Word of God, without communion and fellowship with the Lord, then we will be those who are dry and barren spiritually, and we will accomplish nothing for the kingdom of heaven. Alexander White, who is a minister in the Free Church of Scotland, he said, "No prayer, no faith, no Christ in the heart. Little prayer, little faith, little Christ in the heart. Increasing prayer, increasing faith, increasing Christ in the heart. Much prayer, much faith, much Christ in the heart." I wonder, how is it with us? Is it much prayer, much faith, and much Christ? Or is it little prayer, little faith, and little of Christ in our hearts? May it be said of us that there's much of Christ in our hearts. But then also let us remember that if our hearts are to be full of Christ, that is not just something that just happens. And if the rest of our hearts is to be full of Christ, we need to be resolute and we need to be determined to that end. If you think of people who are successful at particular sports, or those who have reached the pinnacle of their profession, does that just come about by chance? Does it? If you examine the lifestyle of an athlete, or examine an athlete, does what they have achieved come about by chance? If you examine their lifestyle, you'll probably find that they lead very disciplined lives. They're maybe up, maybe something like 5 o'clock in the morning to go for a run in all weathers. They have a punishing schedule, physical fitness. Do we set aside regular times to read the Word of God and to pray? Are we disciplined in spiritual things? Do we rise in the morning? Whenever we rise in the morning, is it the messages on our phone or the message of the Word of God which has priority? What has our attention? You know, athletes, they're very careful with their time and how they spend it. They're very careful with what they eat. They have a particular diet that they'll partake of. And so too with us as a people, as people of God, we need to be disciplined in our lives. We need to feed upon the milk of God's Word, and we need to make progress from the milk of God's Word to the meat of God's Word. And for us to grow in grace, there are particular things that we should feed upon, and there are those things which we should not. There are those things which we should avoid. We think of what the Apostle Paul has to say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think upon these things." And so there are those things that we are to feed our hearts upon. And if you take any walk of life, those who are successful, whether it be in school or whether it be in their career or whether it be in business, you will usually find that there are those who are resolute and determined. And as it is, in the secular sphere of life, so it is in the spiritual. And so let us be resolutely determined that our hearts and our lives and our homes will be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. A.W. Pink said, "Growth in grace is growth downward. It is a forming of a lower estimate of ourselves. It is a deepening realization of our nothingness. It is a heartfelt recognition that we are not worthy of the least of God's mercies." And that is very true. We are nothing, and we deserve nothing from the Lord. But being in Christ, we have this wonderful privilege of being filled with Christ. A wonderful privilege of being full in Him. The reservoir needs to be full, and the reservoir of our hearts needs to be filled with Christ. And the reservoir needs not only to be filled, it needs to be kept full by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then thirdly, the reservoir needs to be kept clean. There are times, especially in Kenya, whenever the water in our taps is not clean. It comes out a brownish color. And such water is not suitable for drinking, and it's not suitable for washing clothes, unless you also want your clothes to be a nice brown color. And so nobody likes water that is dirty. It's a risk to our health. The reservoir and its supply needs to be kept clean and pure. And we could tell many stories about that, but maybe not today. But again, there are those in the water company who are in charge of a reservoir and whose responsibility it is to make sure that the reservoir is kept clean and the water pure. And this is an ongoing situation, and it's something which is continually monitored. And in the spiritual plane, we also need to keep our hearts clean and pure. And we are responsible and accountable to the Lord to do that. And we need to be diligent in doing that. Think of what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. And the Lord says, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." James exhorts us in chapter 1 and verse 27 that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And even though that we are God's people, whenever we're saved, we still have the seed of every conceivable sin within us. And under certain conditions, those seeds can germinate with very great devastating effects. Day by day, as we live in this world, sin is all around us. And the great objective that James sets before us and as the people of God is that we would be those who are unspotted from the things of the world. And let us never imagine that this is something that we are able to do in our own strength. Never let us imagine that we have the ability to keep ourselves clean. Self-confidence is something that we should be concerned about, because if we have got confidence in ourselves, then our confidence is not in the Lord, and we're likely to fall. But the Lord is able, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, we'll never reach the stage of sinless perfection in this life. It'll only be whenever we get to heaven. But still, we should desire to live lives as the Lord would have us to live. The Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And the Apostle Paul exhorts the believers at Philippi in chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, "That ye be blameless and harmless as sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, upon whom ye shine as lights in the world." And so let us pray that no one can ever point a finger at us and say that from what we think and what we say and what we do, that person is not filled with Christ. Because what we say and what we do will be the evidence of what is in our heart. And as the Lord reminds us, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Words of the Lord spoken, Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. May the Lord enable us to diligently keep our hearts clean, to keep our hearts pure. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Remember that our hearts, they're black with sin, but they're made pure in Christ. The heart needs to be made clean. It needs to be kept clean. And we need to be diligent in doing that. A.W. Tozer said, the neglected heart will soon be a heart overrun with worldly thoughts. The neglected life will soon become a moral chaos. I pray that we will not neglect our hearts. I pray that our hearts will not be neglected and overrun with worldly thoughts. The reservoir of our heart needs to be kept clean every day and all the time, and especially so whenever storms press in upon us. One of the things you notice in around Port Ballantrae, whenever there's a storm, you see around the sand and around the river bush, there's lots of debris everywhere after the storm. And you notice the water, it goes brown. And a storm has an effect. It has a big effect on the water. And it is then that you can get a problem with the water supply. And spiritually speaking, there are times whenever the troubles and trials of life that press in upon us. And whenever that time comes, we need to lift up our hearts unto the Lord, who is able to calm the storm and who is able to protect us and to keep us clean and keep us pure unto the Lord. Philippians 4 and verse 7, and the peace of the God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The reservoir needs to be kept clean, the water pure, and the Lord will enable us to do that. But then fourthly, a reservoir has a control system. It has a control system to determine where the water is going to go. The flow of water from the reservoir has it can be channeled in particular routes, but it is controlled so that it goes this way or that way or whatever way is determined. The reservoir may be full, but if the correct valves are not opened, and if the water is not channeled in a particular way, then it will not reach our homes, or even much of it can be wasted. You could, the reservoir could be emptied and nobody will make any use of the water. And so as we consider the reservoir of our hearts and our spiritual lives, it is important that the loyalty of our heart is not divided. We talk of some people having a divided heart, one foot in the church, another in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ reminds us in Matthew 6 and verse 24 that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And if our lives are to be acceptable to the Lord, we need hearts which are sold out 100% to the Lord. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to live and to rule in our hearts. As the Lord said in John 7 and verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. May we give ourselves to the Lord unreservedly in every aspect of our lives. Let us never neglect the reading of God's word. Let us never neglect the place of prayer. Let us never neglect to fill our hearts with the word of God, to fill the hearts of our families with the scriptures of truth. Reminded of that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and the verses 4 to 9. I'll not take time to read that portion, but I would commend it to you to read it prayerfully. We are to fill our hearts, fill our lives, fill our homes with the scriptures of truth. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out are the issues of life. We need to serve the Lord with singleness of heart. We need hearts which are singularly devoted to the Lord, not divided between the world and Christ, but wholly given to Christ. But then fifthly, a reservoir may need to have special security measures in place. A supply of water is vital for the nation. In a time of war, it is a security consideration to make sure that the water supply is kept safe. And it is good to remember that we have an enemy who is ever seeking to poison and to destroy the reservoir of our heart. The devil will do his utmost to attack the heart. In Pilgrim's Progress, we read of the town of Mansoul. And the devil will do all that he can to get through all the gates to the town of Mansoul. For if the heart be taken, then the life is lost. If the heart be seized, the whole man, the affections, the desires, the motives, will all be yielded up to the power of the enemy. And it is only the Lord who can grant the victory. The heart is a defense against the great enemy of our soul, and it is vitally important that the heart be guarded with all diligence. The word diligence in the Hebrew, it means that which is guarded. Guarded above all things. And great emphasis is given to this, and thence the importance of the text. The heart is to be guarded because within it are the issues of life. And it is here, it is the fountain from which flows all that affects every aspect of our lives. And so we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts. Let us be particularly careful of what we allow into our hearts through the gate of our eye, through the gate of our ear. It used to be that it was the TV that most needed to be guarded against. But now it's the internet and other things. And we need to be on our guard. We need security measures in place. We need to know what the scriptures say, and we maintain a close and a constant fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because be sure of it, Satan will come and he will seek to attack our hearts. Remember, whenever Satan came to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ to turn the stones into bread, what did he do? He quoted the word of God. Matthew 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, It is written. He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so may we be ready to use the sword of the word of God to defend and to protect our hearts. May the Lord enable us to do so. And may the Lord enable us to cling more and more to Christ. I'm always amazed when I look at a grapevine and you see the tendrils in the grapevine, and if there's something there that the grapevine can cling on to and gets its tendrils around the support, my yield can hardly pull it away from it. And that is a picture of how that we should be with Christ, that we cling, that our hearts cling to Christ, that they are firmly anchored to Christ and in Christ, that we would cleave to the Lord. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I believe that if we are diligent in this matter of keeping the heart, that we will be in the place of victory. We will be enabled to walk with the Lord. That we will be those who are blameless and harmless, undefiled before the Lord. I pray the Lord will give us enabling grace to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our address to this point has primarily been to God's people. And we underline the importance of being diligent in the keeping of our hearts and keeping a fellowship with the Lord and with his people. But just in closing, let me say that if you're not saved this morning, then the starting point is that you need a new heart. You need a new heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 reminds us of the heart that we have. And Jeremiah reminds us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But we have the promise in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. And so this morning, if you're not saved, you need a new heart. And the Lord is able to give you a new heart. He's able to take away the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. He's able to take away that heart that resents the Lord and give you a heart that loves Christ. Oh, I pray that it might be so. The invitation is given. Think of the invitation in Revelation 22 and verse 17, just as the scriptures are coming to a close. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. May the Lord be pleased to grant you, if you're not of Christ, that the Lord would enable you to come and to invite him this day to give you a new heart and to give you a new life. If you do, I believe he will. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have, in Christ, that you have given to us those new hearts. And we pray today, Lord, that truly that our hearts will be filled with Christ, that they will be filled with to overflowing. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us hearts, Lord, indeed, which are kept clean. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give us hearts which are undivided, hearts, Lord, which are dedicated 100%, Lord, indeed, to thee. And Lord, we pray that you could help us to guard our hearts. We know that we have an enemy of our, there is an enemy to our soul. And Lord, we pray that you would help us and enable us, Lord, indeed, to be on our guard. And so, Heavenly Father, today we pray that you'll write your word indelibly upon our hearts. And Lord, that we would be diligent, Lord, indeed, to keep our hearts. For Lord, within are the issues of life. Be pleased to grant it for Jesus' sake. In closing, I'd like to turn in your hymn book to hymn number 411. 411. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart, not a cloud between. And even as we come to our close of our meeting this morning, even make the words of our hymn the prayer of our heart. Remain seated while we sing, please.